Praise God. I've been told that I can take my liberty, so I'm going to take advantage of it until that liberty is removed or revoked. But I think this is a very good time to share with you some thoughts I have concerning a dream that was taken. Is this all right? I don't think I'll get through the whole dream, but I think that what I will do is I will read to you the portion of the dream that the Lord has been speaking me on. I haven't been able to get through the whole dream yet, but a lot of it is in line with what is being spoken and what is being shared here. I believe that dreams are prophetic, and I think the prophetic is something that God puts in the body as eyes and ears to edify, exhort, and comfort. Now, I suppose what we could probably discuss exhort as to what it's supposed to do and how it's supposed to be done. But admonish also is sometimes, you know, I admonish my children. You know, if you're doing something wrong, don't do that again. So praise the Lord. Let me read the dream. This is the swimming pool in Coach Dream. If you would like to get a copy of this, I think that you could see somebody here in the Schuyler eldership who could print it off. I suggest you get a copy of it. You take it home, you pray over it as to your position or place of involvement as far as that is concerned. And when you just know I hit the wrong button. And lost the thing. Okay, swimming pool and coach gym. I'm just going to read the dream first. In my dream, I was in the indoor swimming pool area. It belonged to a school, and it seems the kids were swimming, and it were about junior high school age. I was walking along the perimeter of the pool and saw the coach was standing at the head of the pool, and I was aware that this man had been coached for about 2 years. And that he wasn't a very good coach. And that the swim team was not doing very well. The coach called for the swimmers to start practicing relay races. But oddly enough, part of the practice included that there was a cord tied about one of the feet of each swimmer as they would practice. I'm not sure what the reason for this was. I didn't know if the purpose was to train them to stay within their lines or what. It seemed rather impractical and potentially dangerous to me. As these kids were swimming, some of them experiencing problems mostly due to these lines. Instead of swimming, some of them were becoming tangled in the lines and they were going under the water. Some of them began to panic. And then it seemed that panic started setting in. I became aware at this time that there were two men with me. One of them I knew to be my husband. She said also, although I did not recognize him as she would know him. And I knew that he was also a coach, a good one, but for whatever reason, he was not the coach at this time. I also knew that because of his experience that he also had the authority. The other man I knew to be his brother. When we began helping the different kids, getting them out of the water, untangling them from their lines, etc., there was one girl in particular who had been on the verge of drowning. And there was also a boy whose hand had gotten all wrapped up with the cord. When I saw the hand, it was all swollen. And he was taken out to be treated. When he came back, he showed me his hand, which was now missing the thumb. I was so grieved that he had lost a son, but the boy and others seemed not so disturbed, saying at least it wasn't the whole hand. But the thing that disturbed me was that he didn't have to lose his thumb if the accident hadn't happened in the first place. Hallelujah. That's the first part of the dream. And that is the part I want to concentrate on for right now. Now, I'm going to go back over it, and I'm going to give you the thoughts that the Lord was sharing with me as I was reading the dream. It says that when I was in my dream, I was in the indoor swimming pool arena. It belonged to a school, and it seemed that the kids were swimming, and it were about junior high age. Well, there's several things here that are very pertinent. When I was reading this dream, the first thing that came to me was the scripture that came that says, that is found in Ezekiel 47:5, and it's speaking of the end of the day and of the time that we are now living in. It says in Ezekiel 47, it talks about waters to swim in. It's establishing for us a time factor. It's establishing for us a position of experience of what is presently happening. There is also an interesting fact about this dream that you need to consider, in that in the spirit, God does not look at us necessarily as mature as we think that we might be. It was junior high kids that were being affected. It says, I was walking along the perimeter of the school and I saw the coach was standing at the head of the pool. I was aware that this man had been coach for about 2 years. It's talking about a coach, but it's talking about a collective position of coaching. Hallelujah. And it's also saying that for about 2 years. Two is a very significant number when you look at it in the context of how it's being used, and it is indicative of the Spirit and the Word and not being proficient in it. Not utilizing it for the purpose for what it is given. Hallelujah. And it said, and he wasn't very good, coach. And the swim team had not been doing very well. Hallelujah. There are certain tools that God gives us in the Word, and there are certain instruments that God gives us concerning with that Word that are designed, as Brother Peter was mentioning in Ephesians 4, to bring us to a position or a place of perfection. You know, it was once said to me many, many years ago, which is held true to me, and I have seen it work over and over and over. If you destroy the minister, you can reject the message. If you discredit the ministry, you can reject the message. Hallelujah. I got here, this is indicative of those who have had oversight of the Holy Place Church. It is interesting that they seem by God as a coach singular. It means that they are all representative of the particular ministry that God looks at them as one in the same thing. There's no differentiation here. There's no differentiating here as far as the position or the place of oversight is concerned. It says, someone who is not producing that which God desires. Winners. Did you hear me? The whole idea of a coach and a team is that they are to produce a winning scenario for the school in which they are belonging to. Hallelujah. The coach called for the swimmers to start practicing relay races. Isn't it interesting? Relay races. Relay races is a team effort. It is something that works in cooperation and coordination with somebody else. And the first person who starts the relay race isn't necessarily the first person who finishes at the end of the line and gets the prize. But when the friend at the end gets the prize, the whole team is exonerated and they are honored as the winners. Hallelujah. And you know, there's something to be said about it, because one of the major problems in the church is politics. Did you know there was church politics? Huh? You know, all you have to do is you have to look at what's happening in a political realm on the national level. And how the candidates talk about the other fellow. And what is bad about him and what is good about him. There's something that my mom would always say to me. He says, you know, when you come into a place and you begin to, when you begin to assess another person, what you're actually saying to the other person is, this person is bad and I am good. Because you are there, I am telling them, whoever, of all of the bad things that person is doing. Now, what makes me the authority? But yet, that is never questioned. And it's not something that's ever questioned. We take it as a fact. And we take it as something that is, in actuality, the truth. Hallelujah. It speaks of working together, each having to do their own part so that the other might be able to carry on to the next and to the next. Hallelujah. Isn't that basically what the thought is when it says that we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, that they, without us, what? Cannot be made perfect. You know, brethren, the Lord is speaking very specifically to us as a people. I suggest you also, there's also the dreams floating around from Sister Lucy. They are dealing with the malady that is in us as a people. And we each have a responsibility to examine ourselves as to how we fit into the scenario and how it is that God is assessing not our brother, but ourselves. Yeah. Speaks of working. I said that, didn't I? In competitive sports, it is not all that cross the finish line, but the one that does represents the entirety of those who have been passing the effort from one to the other. Now, in the dream, it says, but oddly enough, part of the practice included that there was a cord tied about one of their feet as they would practice. I'm not sure what the reason for this was. Well, I think I have the answer to that one. James 3:15. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Yeah. You know, if we can ever get the revelation of what it is that that needs to be dealt with, the devil is a finished entity. Amen. He's finished. He's finished. He's finished. Jesus. Hallelujah. But is earthly, sensual. Now listen to it. Earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 16. For envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. In the midst of envying and strife. And you know, I have to be brutally honest with myself in certain aspects. And there are certain questions I have to ask myself. Which questions I always ask. You know, and I hope I'm not like the disciples that were sitting around the table with Jesus Christ. He says, one of you is a devil and one of you is going to betray me. All of them with one accord were sitting there saying, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And even the guy who knew that who it was, sitting there saying, Lord, is it I? Hallelujah. And on top of that, and Jesus then says, To him whom I give the sop. I don't know. It's hard for me to conceive in my mind, with that thought, with that word, how it was that Judas was able to receive it. But receive it he did. Now, was Judas so much terrible than the other 11? I don't think so. But the response in Judas was different from the response in the other 11. Do you understand? It's an individual position of response to God. Hallelujah. And out of the 11, there were 3. And out of the 3, there was 1. Hallelujah. And it wasn't by the virtue that God said to John, "You are the one I'm going to love. Get up here next to me." I think that John had took every opportunity he could take to be next to Jesus Christ. I think when they were sitting around in a group discussion and that they were talking and sharing, hallelujah, of course Judas would probably be the first one to leave. Well, maybe you'll think about that the next time you come into a service. Hallelujah. It's really something to think about, isn't it? Yes, it is. Hallelujah. So there is something to be said about all of it. So here it is. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. The verse, 1 Corinthians 3, with that same thought, 1 Corinthians 3:3, "For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Back to the dream. I didn't know if the purpose was to train them to stay within the lines or what it seemed rather impractical and potentially dangerous to me. And I put in a little note there. It says, "as indeed proved to be disastrous." And it is in some respect an indictment against us as a church. Because this is the church that God is talking about. This is us, the Holy Place Church. Hallelujah. And brethren, I'm not picking on you or us. Every Holy Place Church, every church that has made it in out of the outer court, every individual has been confronted with these same issues over and over and over again. And somewhere in the midst of time and the progression of time, as the team has been passing the baton, they have made it to a position or a place to where they could pass the baton until the baton has finally wound up in my hands. And we are now in the last leg of the competition.
Yes, we are.
We're in the last portion, the last phase. Hallelujah. As these kids were swimming, some of them began to experience problems, mostly due to these lines. Instead of swimming, some of them had become entangled in the lines and they were going under the water. Oh boy. 2 Timothy 2:4. "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life."
Yes.
"That he may please him." Listen. "That he may please him who hath chosen him to" what? "Be a soldier." You know, I was talking to some brethren here recently. I don't know if it was Brother Jokes or it was Czech Republic people. I said, you know, I think the next youth camp that we have, I got a good idea. Let's have a boot camp, army boot camp style camp. We run everything according to the way you when you were in the army and you go to boot camp. Hello? Well, we talk about being in the army of the Lord. We talk about being soldiers of Christ. Huh? Do you have any concept or thought of what it means to be in that position? When I went into the army, they took all my nice clothes away. They took all my nice clothes and they gave me this green stuff. The legs were too short, the arms were too long. Hello? Hallelujah. But did you think that made any difference to them? And you know what? We all had the same ugly boots. Hallelujah. And if that wasn't enough, they set me down in a chair and they shaved all my hair off. And no one would talk to me civilly. They always shouted at me. And I had no right to make a decision when to go to bed, when to get up, when to eat, what to dress, how I should dress, what I should say or not say. I was woken in the morning by a whistle and a horn. And I didn't have time to lollygag around in the bathroom, patting my face and making sure that I was fresh and ready to go. Hallelujah. We had to run outside and we had to stand in lines and ranks. Hallelujah. You know, I think it's a great idea. And just find out what the army is all about. He says, no man entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Oh, this is a hard word. Give me a break. It's not a hard word. If you are looking beyond the temporal position of your 70-some plus years, you know, it becomes more of a reality, doesn't it, Bob? The closer you get to that 70 mark, the more you begin to think about it. Isn't that right, Brother Peckman? When I was 30, it was no big deal. I still had 40-some years. That was a whole lifetime. Well, I'm not 30 anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there is something to be said about this. Now, I ask you, go home and ask God, what does it mean to be entangled with the affairs of this life? Go home and ask Him. How does it apropos to you? Hallelujah. That He may what? Please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Oh, I don't want to be a soldier. I just want to be a son. I just want to be a son. Oh, God. You can't be a son without being a soldier. If you're not a soldier, you will never make a son. Verse 5, and if a man also striveth for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be The husband that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Hallelujah, my God, help us understand the ramification of responsibility that God is putting on us as a church. Hallelujah. Dreams. Some of them begin to panic, and it seemed that the panic started setting in, and I became aware at this time that there were two men with me. One of them was my husband, whom I did not recognize him as I know him. It says 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth, know ye no man after the flesh. Oh, that is impossible, right? Know ye no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, let now henceforth know we him no more. If it applies to Christ, it applies to you and I. Hallelujah. I knew also that he was a good, also a coach, a good one, but for whatever reason, he was not the coach at this time. I also knew that because of his experience, that he had an authority. The other man I knew to be his brother. This is indicative to me. Now remember, the dreamer will always dream in the context of who they are, what they know, and what they are associated with, and how familiar they are with it. Hello? Hallelujah. It's indicative of the Spirit and the Word again in its more mature state. We begin helping kids. That's the good news. We got the bad news. Now I'm going to give you the good news. He began helping the kids. You see, there's something very good about this condition, in that it's going to create an environment and a situation or circumstances for the people involved to bring them to a state of understanding their position of jeopardy. Hello, are you there? That means circumstances are going to begin to get so bad, so rough, so tough, and so absolutely impossible, many are going to despair of life and start giving up. It's good. It's good. Because when you give up, God can step in. If you have the awareness that God is there to step in. And that is what that is the reason for the present of the more mature position and stability of the ministry that is presently in the body waiting to be activated by God. Hello, it's a rescue operation. That means you call the ambulance, you call the paramedics, you call whatever, 911. In the spirit, when you call 911, you're dialing God. And God has his paramedics. He's got his special forces ready to be activated. Because you see, if I am not doing what I am supposed to be doing, that doesn't mean that somewhere, somehow, someone is doing exactly what God wants him to do. There's people that are doing and performing and submitting themselves to the process of God to bring him to the place so that at the time of midnight they can step up to the plate and begin to produce. Isn't that great? Huh? Now, I can sit back and rest myself on the basis of that thought, but I want to be one of those paramedics. Do you hear me? Yeah, maybe I'm presumptuous. Maybe you think I'm presumptuous? I want to be one of those waiting in the wings to be activated.
Glory to you, Holy Spirit.
But in order to do that, I have to understand the process of my activation. You know, when you're in the service, when you want to apply for a special unit, a special forces unit, there is a special training that they put you through. And it is so rigorous, it is so demanding, it is so absolutely almost physically, mentally, emotionally impossible. Well, in this particular case, it is for my position of low humanity. I have to get out of my humanity and into God.
Yes, amen. Jesus.
And you know that isn't really, really all that difficult, because the Bible says, if I draw nigh to God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. God does not bring a rebuke. God does not bring a chastisement. God does not bring a position of confronting us with our position of transgression without providing a position or a place of release and deliverance. You know, I learned a long time ago, you take your children and you spank them and you sit them on a chair, but you come back and you love them and you pet them and you tell them what a wonderful child they are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have number one, a rescue operation. What are the terms of that? What are the steps? Step number one, get them out of the water. Hallelujah. Get them out of the water. Whatever that implies, whatever that is significant enough. And if we look at the context of water on the basis of Scripture, hallelujah, the washing of the water of the Word and all of that, there has to be a position or a place of learning and understanding the reality of what is in the Word and how it applies to me as an individual. So that I can use it against the devil. You know, when the devil had Jesus there in the desert, he came to him not only with natural substance and natural circumstances, but he also used the word against him. Yeah. Hallelujah. But Jesus' response was quite simple. It is written.
Hallelujah.
Do you know how hard it is not to defend yourself? Am I the only one that finds myself in that dilemma? I mean, to defend yourself. Somebody says, blah, 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 blah. And you say, well, I don't think I am. I have this and this and this and this and this and this. And I say, I make a resolution. I am not going to defend myself. Hallelujah. And every time I end up defending myself. Hallelujah. Because there is something of a reality that I am walking, I am asking God to give me of Him in the aspects of the reality of His presence that I can just commit it to Him and let Him judge me. But I have to be willing to hear what He has to say about me. Hallelujah. Brother Dusil used to say that if a person walks up to him and says, tells him, oh, you know, you're just an old dog. Brother Dusil would say, oh, really? Tell me about that. How is it that I am an old dog? And he would sit there and listen to the man tell him. And sometimes he would say, well, brother or sister, you know, I do not agree with what you are saying, but I appreciate your honesty. Hallelujah. All right. Step two, untangling them from their lines. Hallelujah. Step one was get them out of the water. Now, God is talking to you and I about us. You know, sometimes we use the Word of God against ourselves. Or we use the Word of God to justify our position of transgression. Well, maybe you don't. Hallelujah. Back to the dream. All right, that's the rescue operation. Back to the dream. There was one girl in particular who was on the verge of drowning. That's the Holy Place Church. That's the Holy Place Church. Hallelujah. We do not seem to understand. There are certain things that have to happen in order for God to come back again. There are certain things that have to happen. God forbid that they happen, but they're going to happen. And one of the things that is going to happen is that there is an abomination that is going to rise up in the holy place, church. An abomination. Did you hear the word? Abomination. Something that is diametrically and in opposition to everything that God stands for. Hello? God forbid that it happen. Brethren, I want to make sure that I am not part of that abomination. Because I'm a holy place person, because I have a holy place word, and I believe in the holy place message. Hello? I am a candidate for that abomination if I do not respond in the correct manner in which I have to respond concerning the darkness that is within me. Hallelujah. I can become a part of the abomination. The abomination isn't them bringing some pig and slaughtering it there in the temple in Jerusalem. It has nothing to do with it. Amen. The abomination is an attitude. It's a pernicious spirit that is unchecked, unbridled, and unharnessed, and having the complete liberty to utilize the mechanics of the holy place to perpetrate their position of preeminence and oversight over the people. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. All right, the girl in particular who was on the verge of them, that's the holy place church. And there was also a boy. There were probably many boys, but there was one particular boy in particular, and that is the man-child church. Whose hand had gotten wrapped up with the cord. My goodness. It's not talking about a physical hand. It's talking about the hand of God. Hallelujah. What is the hand of God? The hand of God, in some respects, the word calls it the fivefold ministry. Now, whether you like it or not, and whether we are part of it or not, there are people that God has set in the body for a particular reason. I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't vote on it. I didn't put names in a box on the chance that that name would be picked out and that name would be called. I had nothing to do with it. Hello? You know, Saul had nothing to do with the fact that he was anointed king. Did you know that? He resisted the calling and he resisted it. And yet God selected him. God selected him. Although God knew that down the road, Saul was going to lose his position or his place of preference with God because he was disobedient. But that did not negate the calling and the election that was on Saul's life, which David would not touch. David was anointed king. A king who lived in cave for how many years? 13 years. He was 13 years king of the cave. Hallelujah. And running from his life every time that Saul was in the neighborhood, sneaking out, as it were, in the dark. Why? Because he would not touch God's anointed. He would not touch him. Would not touch him. The one time that he gave in, he cut the skirt of his garment. Oh my God. He was smitten with what he had done. In his consciousness, he was smitten. Would to God that we had a God consciousness as David had. And David is a type of you and I, you know. Concerning the position of relationship. Because, you know, the tabernacle is all well and good, but the Bible says that God is going to restore the tabernacle of David. Yes. Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
Huh? You know, David would go in where the ark was in a tent-like structure and sit with his harp, worship and praise and commune with God. No other man on the face of the earth had that privilege or that right to do that. Anybody else that would do that would have been struck dead. But there was something in David's heart.
Hallelujah.
Jeez. Hallelujah. And we should ask God to give us a heart like unto David.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And though David was a man, he loved God. He loved God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There was also a boy, Mantile Church, whose hand had gotten all wrapped up in the cord. My goodness. Here's what I put down. Getting bogged down in the mechanics of relationships and disputes that are basic, inconsequential to the position of the individual personalities, responsibilities before the Lord concerning the individual's personal position of relationship to fulfill the calling and the election in one's life. My God. You know, when you come into the holy of a holy place, we talk a lot about the bars, but you know there's five pillars. Hallelujah. Did you know that? There's five pillars into the entrance of the holy place. Huh? They're evenly spaced. Don't pay any attention to that. Hallelujah. Five pillars. There is no designation. They're all the same width. They're all the same. They're all the same height. They're absolutely in the aspect of it, no differentiation between the ministries. They are all subject to the fact of making what the Bible calls the door. You know, there's only one other place in the Bible that there is made reference to a door. Do you know where that is?
John 10.
Huh?
John 10.
Yes. What does it say?
He said, I am the door.
Do you think that's inconsequential? Listen, brethren. There's three names. You have the gate. Huh? You have the door. And you have the veil. Praise the Lord. Is it inconsequential that this opening to the tabernacle is called the door? Is it inconsequential? Is it just by happen chance? Absolutely not. There is something that God is saying to us as a people. These are pillars made of wood. All the same design on them, all the same material composition, but they are covered over with gold. You cannot go into the tabernacle without going through the door. The door is the ministry that God has set in the earth. Huh? It is. It's the fivefold ministry. Now, brethren, I'm not telling you that I am part of the fivefold ministry. Don't misunderstand what I am saying. I am telling you a concept. I am telling you a principle of what it is that is in existence and what God says is that God said is being destroyed. Hallelujah. But the thing about the fivefold ministry is that the thumb is an essential portion. It is an essential part of it. Hallelujah. It is critical for the thumb, for the hand to operate in the means by which it operates and to do what it needs to do to have the thumb. Hallelujah. And the thing that the devil has to do is to destroy the credibility or tear down that position or farther as the function of the apostolic word is concerned. And this is what this dream is about. Hallelujah. When I saw the hand, it was swollen and he was taken out to be treated. The swollen hand is the battering that has been and is being given to the fivefold ministry. The backbiting, the tearing down of the position of respect individually concerning these particular ministries. The discrediting of individuals whose selection was not of man but of God. Hello? Hallelujah. Well, you know, you can just throw this in the trash can if you want to. But what I'm telling you is what I believe that God is saying to me personally. And it's not me telling you. It is me sharing with you what God is talking to me concerning my position of relationship with Him. You can do with it what you want. Because you're the one that's going to have to stand before God. I am the one that's going to have to stand before God and give an account for every thought, every action, every word, every aspect of incident that I am involved with on this natural level. Hallelujah. When he came back, he showed me his hand, which was now missing the thumb. Oh my God. God help us not to find ourselves in this type of dilemma. God help us not to find ourselves in this position. The loss of an apostolic vision. And it was the prophet who said, where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm going to finish it right here. I was so grieved that he had lost his thumb. But the boy and the others seemed not to be so disturbed. At least it wasn't, and saying, at least it wasn't the whole hand. You lose the thumb, you've lost the hand. You lose the thumb, you lost the game. You lose the thumb, you lost the prize. But yet they're rejoicing over the fact that they still have the four fingers. It seemed not to disturb, saying it, at least it was, but the thing that disturbed me was that he did not have to lose his thumb if the accident hadn't happened in the first place. What we have a responsibility to do, and I'm going to stop it right there, what we have a responsibility to do is to make sure it doesn't happen. God bless you.